wish I knew. You place no one above me. Did I mistake this for a real romance? I wish I knew, but only you can. So should I keep dreaming on or just forget you? What shall I do? I wish I knew.
Just will not utter the words I love you. Ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Wait a while till the moonbeam comes peeping through. You'll get bold, you can't resist him, and all you'll say when you have kissed him is ooh, what a little moonlight can do. Your poor tongue just will not utter the word I love you.
So do we have any public comments? Roll call.
Commissioners, please remember to turn on your mic and speak into the mic for a roll call.
It's the little button right at the bottom of the mic.
Okay. Commissioner Almarezi?
Present.
Commissioner Rothschild?
Present.
Commissioner Uribe?
Present.
Chair Paz?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you. We do have some public comments. Could also just start with thanking our previous commissioner, Commissioner Kyle Yao, and then we'll welcome our new commissioner, and then we'll go to public comments if that's okay. Perfect.
Sure.
So we want to thank Kyle Yao, who's our youth commissioner, for his service to the city of Goleta. He was on our Public Engagement Commission for the past 2 years. Kyle said, being able to exchange ideas on equal footing with my fellow commissioners and actually present ideas implemented by the city was something I will be forever grateful, which I think we'd probably share the same sentiments as commissioners. After this rewarding experience, Kyle would encourage other Goleta youth to get involved in the city. He said it would be he would highly recommend anybody interested in city government to give commission a try. And prior to his appointment as a youth commissioner, Kyle was a graduate of the city's second lead Goleta Community Academy in February of 2020. So he already had some experience before he became a commissioner. Kyle was also a member of the Dos Pueblos Engineering Academy, which go Chargers, yes. he also played on the school's golf team and was a volunteer for Santa Barbara Cottage Hospital and a co-coach of a youth first Lego League robotics team. And Kyle is now at the University of California, Berkeley, where he will major in pre-dental/chemistry. He aspires to be an endodontist, a specialist in dentistry. We have no doubt that he will do really well in his life and career. So thank you, Kyle, for your service. And then we'd like to welcome and excited that we have a new commissioner, Peter. Would you like to pronounce your last name, Peter?
Morige.
He's our newest public engagement commissioner. Peter has lived in the city of Goleta for more than 30 years, longtime volunteer in a variety of different capacities with the Red Cross homeless outreach efforts and Goleta CERT, including as a business ambassador during COVID, correct? He also served on the board of directors of Gersh Park. Peter started in Goleta as a computer scientist on Navy research programs and doing some doctoral research. I'm at UCSB. Okay. And has also served as a senior project engineer on several defense programs and worked on specific international exploratory defense exercises, correct? Welcome, Peter. Thank you. So now we'll go to public comment.
Yes, first up we have Miguel Avila.
Good afternoon or evening, I guess. Commissioners, Mr. Chair, staff. Earlier today, we had a Zoom meeting, the Greater Santa Barbara Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which I'm one of the co-founders and president, with your wonderful staff here. anyway, it's all about putting together something that I guess in the old town Goleta, sleepy old town Goleta, that's what a lot of the business owners say. So they're excited, they're happy that something is gonna happen there, and that's gonna be for 16th of September on a Saturday. This year falls right on a Saturday. So we're planning to have a Mexican independence celebration. The General Consulate of Mexico is invited, and I believe the time that he's gonna be with us is gonna be somewhere between 4 and 5. He's kind of like on a trip all the way up to Paso Robles. So he's stopping in every city, starting like, and then finishing that day all the way up there. Anyway, so the whole idea is to celebrate and promote the old Tangolita, help support the businesses there. So which, you know, they all, the majority, a big number of them are Latinos. And so, and even the non-Latinos are excited. I've been already talking to many of them, and they like the idea of closing that one block street there, Pine Avenue, and then utilizing the parking lot of the Hacienda to do mostly the social gathering, food and entertainment. And so anyway, the whole idea is, this is an invitation for all of you to come and join us, to be there and tell your loved ones, Golitians, to come and be part of something that I don't think it has been done before, not this level. Last year, we did it probably for 2.5 hours, 3 hours at the most. We did have mariachis, we had food, we had all kinds of entertainment, and it was very well attended. I would say probably a couple hundred, 250 people showed up last year. So that kind of triggered that this year we go a little bigger, with the participation not only from our chamber and our foundation, but also from the city of Goleta, so which is exciting, you know, making a donation, financial donation to the to our foundation, so this event can come to be realized, to be a reality. We're also going after some sponsorship money because it doesn't. It takes quite a bit of money when you put something like this together. So, but we're excited. We're happy. We're going to have a lot of support, volunteers, and I can see Kelly already smiling because she was at the last year's, and she was happy to be there. Marco, you were there. So anyway, and believe it or not, all year long he's been. Every time we see each other, hey. Are we going to do it, the event this year in Old Town Goleta? Yes, we are. Yes, we are, Marcus. Just be patient. You know, we'll put it together. So anyway, just want to say that you have a great staff, and I'm happy to see familiar faces, and I'm looking forward to a successful event September 16th and maybe more in the future, maybe bigger. We'll see. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Areri Boteji.
Mr. President and commissioners, and I was listening what Miguel was telling, so I'm following that, and the staff and everybody. And Mr. Miguel Avila invited me today. First of all, I want to apologize my attire. I wasn't quite sure. This is the first time I've been to a meeting like this. So I may be a little nervous too because I wasn't prepared. I am part of the Greater Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm one of the board members. And Mr. Avila, when he mentioned about the City Hall discussions like this, so I kind of kindly asked him to invite me for the next one, which is this is the first time. So my apologies ahead if for anything. My name is Aruni Boteju. I grew up, I was born and grew up in Sri Lanka. My family migrated here 27 years ago, and we have lived in city of Santa Barbara, and I live here in Paterson, city of Goleta. Career banker, I work with small businesses, and I work with, I do small business lending. The reason I'm here today is actually a small crazy passion. We all have dreams, so that kind of led me to a passion for cinema, led me to do a film festival. It's basically to promote Sri Lankan cinema, make a bridge from Sri Lanka to Santa Barbara, because believe it or not, we do have very similarities because our colonial occupations in Sri Lanka, how much we have Portuguese influence, Dutch and English. And so we started our film festival in 2021 and we launched it at the Direct Relief. And they helped us, the whole city, the whole team. And now, second year was last year, 2022, we did our first 3 days at Lobero Theater. And we are going for the second year. So a little bit of the history about this whole situation is actually, it's just a passion, like I said. When I first started at this, I had no idea that we'll be the first organization to ever to do a international film festival outside of Sri Lanka. So we created a nonprofit, 501c3 Ceylon International Film Festival Foundation. And me and my sister basically started at this. So just basically what we want to do is promote Sri Lankan cinema. Then we kind of opened up. We didn't know exactly what we were doing, to be honest with you. We had the passion, but we named it as Ceylon International Film Festival, and we opened the submission to everybody. So first year, which is last year, we got 315 submissions from 40 countries. Wow. It was incredibly overwhelming, but it was a success for us, our end. So we opened the submission this year. We got 53 countries participated, and I didn't even count the numbers of the submission. So we do have a very diverse jury. And last year, the best animation was won by Mexico, and documentary was from Bulgaria. And the first year, we want to promote more of the Sri Lankan cinema to Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara County. So we are going for the second year again, and we really would love to have the city of Goleta support. Like I said, I wasn't quite sure when I first started this, and now actually we have our first, this year we're going to be hosting the event for 6 days. For the first 5 days, it's going to be at the Direct Relief. They were kind enough to let us use their Hutch Hall, so we'll be doing the opening ceremony and the first 4 days screenings and the panel talks at Direct Relief, and then we'll be doing our closing ceremony at the Lobero Theater. So, speaking of that, we are getting the Santa Barbara and the Goleta cities in mall, which I really didn't think like that way when I first started this year. So, I really appreciate. I don't know exactly what I should ask for since this is my first time, but I really would love to have the city of Goleta's support. This is as an immigrant, we really enjoy, and our community really embraced us when we first moved in. We studied here. My two sisters, my family moved here 27 years ago. My mom and dad and my two younger sisters, we all went to school here. I have two kids now. One is going to San Marcos, and one already graduated and going to San Francisco University. So it's just our community always have been supporting us throughout the year, and we have been involved with the with community events as well. And I really enjoy being part of the community. So I would love to have your support and your presence to our event, and looking forward to work with the city of Goleta.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Probably staff could follow up with you. Thank you.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Thank you. Do we have any other public comment?
There are no public speakers.
Thank you. With that, let us go to the consent calendar, item A1, approval of Public Engagement Commission meeting minutes of February 15, 2023. Someone want to make the motion to approve?
I can make the motion to approve.
Thank you. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. All those in, oh, do we have to do roll call? Thank you.
Okay, commissioners, we will do a roll call vote. Please remember to turn on your mic and speak into your microphone. Commissioner Omareji?
Aye.
Commissioner Klein Rothschild?
I'm staying. I was not present for the meeting.
Thank you. And Commissioner Uribe?
Approved.
Okay, thank you.
Aye.
Oh, and Chair Paz.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll move to item B1, Board and Commission Document Amendments. And I believe Ms. Christine Schmidt is going to present this item. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Paz and commissioners. I'm Christy Schmidt. I'm the assistant city manager here at Goleta. And I have with me my colleague, Shannon Kern, who is a management analyst in the city manager's office. And we are here today to talk about, hold on a second. I think we're getting our presentation loaded up. There we go. Next slide. Please. So we're here to talk about.
Sorry. Okay, yes, much better, thank you. So we're here to talk about some changes to the documents governing our various boards and commissions that we took to the City Council on May 16th, 2023, and that were approved by the City Council. We're gonna talk about the purpose and goals of the updates, what we were hoping to achieve, and then Shannon will talk a little bit about the specific municipal code updates, including a new section in the municipal code related to the Public Engagement Commission. We're going to talk about a policy resolution that applies to all of our boards and commissions, and then an increase to the stipends that we recommended for, to the City Council and that the Council has approved. And then we'll talk about our next steps. So as you know, we have, the City has seven different boards and commissions, the Design Review Board, the Library Advisory Commission, our Parks and Recreation Commission, our Planning Commission, our Public Engagement Commission, our Public Tree Advisory Commission, and our new Historic Preservation Commission. And all of these commissions were created at different times by different city councils and different staff and through using different documents. And so the documents that govern them, the parts of the municipal code were not always consistent in sort of their organization and their flow. And sometimes they said the same thing, but in slightly different ways. And just, it was a, this was an opportunity for us to kind of clean up some of that municipal code. Also, the Public Engagement Commission wasn't in there at all. As you'll remember, the Public Engagement Commission was initially established in response to a, under a consent, excuse me, a settlement agreement with regard to the district elections issue. And so it was created with, you know, seven very specific duties, all of which the commission has completed and more. And more. and so it was time to create a new sort of charge for the Public Engagement Commission to allow it to continue to go into the future, which I think everybody was hoping that it would. In addition, we did have some, each commission had some extraneous documents. Mostly these were resolutions that adopted them and sort of set forward what they would do. And also there were some bylaws for example, the DRB that were similar. And those were sometimes conflicted with what was in the municipal code, and they were really hard to find. Unless you knew to go looking for them, they weren't very transparent. And so we wanted to get rid of those and take the important things and put them in the municipal code where they'd be more visible to people. So the goals of our update were, number one, to establish an ongoing role for the Public Engagement Commission and codify the commission in the municipal code, like our other boards and commissions. And you'll remember back in July, some of you, 2022, we came and talked to you about what those recommendations were going to be for the scope of the commission going forward, and you guys approved that. We also wanted to just modernize, simplify, and standardize those Goleta Municipal Code sections so that there'd be more efficiency, transparency, and consistency between the different sections of for boards and commissions. We wanted to amend or establish some required or desirable qualifications for our boards and commissions. We had these for certain boards and commissions and not others, and council found it helpful to sort of just signal to people kind of what the board and commission does and what sort of skills would be valuable for the boards and commissions, but also to help them put together interview questions for when they're interviewing people for boards and commissions. So we wanted to add those for the commissions that didn't have them. We wanted to establish a diversity, equity, and inclusion related qualification for all board and commission members. This is really important. The diversity, equity, and inclusion has been one of the council's prime focuses over the last several years, and we're really trying to institutionalize that focus. And so one of the ways that we wanted to do this was to clearly signal in the qualifications for our boards and commissions the need to also share that commitment. We wanted to eliminate those extraneous documents, the bylaws and the resolutions that nobody can ever find, and really put everything important in the code. And then we did want to, take those additional rules and procedures that didn't belong in the code and create a single document that would apply to all of our boards and commissions to outline some of the rules and procedures that apply to our boards and commissions. And this is also important because our clerk's office has been wanting to create a board and commissioner handbook. Something that our board and commissioners have been asking for a while, you know, something that has the rules and the procedures, but also just advice about how to run a meeting and what to do, how to resolve conflicts and things like that. And so she was wanted to put that together, and getting council's sort of ratification of certain rules that can go into that handbook was really important. For youth commissioners, we wanted to allow the youth commissioner who's appointed as a youth to have a term of up to 2 years, because sometimes they're just getting going after a year, and we thought as long as they're still a Goleta resident, you know, there's no need to cut that short unnecessarily. And the other thing we did is we removed the student requirement, and that actually came from this commission. You kind of said, you know, being a student doesn't, you know, just because you're not a current student, you have a GED or you're not in school, doesn't mean that you don't bring a valid youth perspective to in the community. And so, you know, as part of a focus on removing artificial barriers to participation, we wanted to remove that. So that's no longer required for a youth member. And there's this commission has a youth member and also the Parks and Recreation Commission. And then we wanted to increase the compensation for board and commission members, the stipend. That has not been increased in many years, and we thought that, you know, especially with recent inflation, we thought it was time to take a look at that. So with that, I'm going to ask Shannon Kern to go through the specific changes to the municipal code.
Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. As Chrissy said, my name is Shannon Kern. I'm a management analyst in the city manager's office. And so today I will be going over some of the general changes that we did for the municipal code overall, and then I'll get into some of the specific sections specific to the Public Engagement Commission. And so in your staff report, you do have a copy of the ordinance that has every section for Chapter 2.19 for Public Engagement Commission. That can also be found on our website as well in the municipal code webpage. There's also copies of the ordinances, of the resolutions for the rules and procedures, as well as the compensation in your staff report as well. So just overall, some of the changes we made to the municipal code were just kind of general cleanup items that Christy had mentioned. You know, we standardized the orders of this, of each section. They were kind of all over the place. So, you know, we really wanted to make it as easy to navigate as possible, and so that, you know, it had a consistent flow and structure regardless what board and commission you were looking at. So we wanted to make it, you know, more predictable and just easier to navigate. So we also updated the wording where applicable to be more consistent across each of the boards and commissions. Specifically for Planning Commission and Design Review Board, we ensured that it was consistent with the new Title 17, which is the zoning code. The zoning code was established after those two boards were established. So there's some. We tied back to Title 17 for those. And then we also updated the purpose and responsibility section, or added those sections where they didn't exist prior, to have a more consistent feel and flow and structure for each board and commission, but still representing the unique scope of each board and commission. And some of the wording from those extraneous documents were used were incorporated into the municipal code where appropriate. So next I'll be highlighting some of the specific sections. So we're going to start with the purpose for the Public Engagement Commission. You'll see throughout these sections of this presentation that there are italics, and so that is to represent any new additions. For the other boards and commissions presentations, there were also strike-throughs, which represented deletions. However, as you know, Public Engagement Commission was not part of the municipal code before this, so everything is technically new, but that's what that means. The purpose is structured to be very similar to the other boards and commissions. You know, it's simple and concise. It's a single sentence. So we've designed this to reflect the kind of general scope of the Public Engagement Commission and also highlight your advisory role. So it reads that to advise the City Council and staff on matters related to public engagement in city government and governance. And so this isn't new, you know, this, like Chrissy said, you've seen most of this, but this is what is stated in the municipal code chapter for purpose. So now the next section I'm going to highlight is qualification of members. So this is where you will find the language around the diversity, equity, and inclusion, requirement. So A is, we added A to all the qualifications for all boards and commissions. So it's same across all, across the board. And then we also added the desirable qualifications. So as Chrissy said, the other boards and commissions already had some type of qualifications, and you know, we want to apply that to the other boards and commissions, but still make it so that a layperson could still apply and be considered. So each one is tailored, each desirable qualifications is tailored to the scope of the board and commission. So for public engagement, we list out several different fields that states that the members, you know, the commission shall be composed of professional and lay members with demonstrated interest, competence, or knowledge in the following fields. So in communications, community engagement, community/public relations, nonprofit service provisions, marketing, journalism, and or diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so just a few other items under qualifications. C and D are very standard, but you know, we wanted to add them in there. So to be very clear that no member shall be residents of the city or an employee or an officer of the city. And then E is for the youth member. And so this is also what's stated in the Parks and Rec Commission qualifications. So like Christy said, it's been updated to so that it's just a youth member and not, you know, removing the student qualification. And that the youth member will be 15 years old, but no more than 18 years old at time of appointment. So this means that they could be 18 and then serve 2 years and be, you know, older than 18, as long as they're 18 when they have been appointed. And then in the one of the sections I won't go over is the term section, which is where it states that the youth member will serve up to 2 years. And the next section I was going to highlight is the meeting section. So we wanted to allow as much flexibility for staff and commission members when scheduling meetings. So you'll see that for Public Engagement Commission, it does say that the commission will meet 4 times per year, which is, I believe in the older documents, it was 6 times per year, but 4 times is you know, not unusual for the Public Engagement Commission. But we also add, you'll see that we added the language to allow the flexibility to meet as needed to fulfill its duties. So this could really mean if there are an abundance of agenda items and that the commission needs to meet more than 4 times per year, it's allowable. Or if there's, it could also mean that if there's no need for a meeting could be canceled to, you know, to really be considerate of all the staff time and commissioners' time that do go into meetings. Now, this is, I also wanted to point out that there is a section in the resolution for rules and procedures that goes over the additional meetings, and if there are additional meetings that exceed 3 from the originally prescribed number, there will need to be city manager approval. And this is a very standard practice, and staff already does this, but we did want to have it in the resolution to be very clear. And this is to just provide, you know, an extra layer of oversight so that the city manager is aware of, you know, the staff time that's going into the meetings, and just so that they are aware. But you know, this doesn't mean that there cannot be more meetings. It's just to help limit the impact of additional meetings when they're not needed. So the last section I was going to highlight is the responsibility section. So this is where it gets more detailed as far as the duties and responsibilities that are expected and the type of items that would come to the Public Engagement Commission. So these will look very familiar to you. These were included in the update that you all saw last year. The first section A lists a lot of matters related to public engagement, and that it's the Public Engagement Commission's duty to advise city council and staff on these matters, you know, and how to get people more interested in participation and kind of best practices, and how the city should really communicate to its community and to residents. I won't read all of them, and there's six dot points under A, but you do have copies of them. So 1 through 6. So just kind of goes over, you know, the duties, and then we also have B, C, and D, and so these are again not new, but they have been drafted to try to encompass the things that do regularly come to the commission, and, you know, to provide a venue to address opportunities, to increase public engagement, things like that. And then also any other matters as directed by City Council would come to you. So that wraps up my portion of the presentation for the Title II Municipal Code update. So I'll turn it back to Christy now.
Thank you, Shannon. So the next part we'll go over is that list of rules and procedures, that resolution that has the rules and procedures in there. And they generally fall into three categories. The first is just good government principles. The second is compliance with laws and rules. And the third is administrative matters, so how you choose a chair, things like that, and just kind of providing that consistently for all of our boards and commissions. The role of the chair is in there. So starting with the good government principles, there is a section ensuring that boards and commissions limit their activities to the subject matters referred to them by council, and that's pretty standard. That's just making sure that one commission isn't stepping in another commission's kind of scope and things like that. And so kind of just that expectation. Also clarifying the advisory role of the bodies and that ultimate financial and policy making authority reside with the City Council. The City Council is the final decision maker on policy decisions and finances. Clarifying that the board and commission should not direct with or interfere with staff in performing their duties. Those non-interference provisions are very typical in government. They apply to the City Council. They're the government code. You'll find them in the Santa Barbara City Charter. But it's the idea that policymakers, the City Council and boards and commissioners, need to deal with staff through the city manager and not to direct individual staff members, just to keep order to things. The next one is establishing expectations that members will encourage and not discourage broad public participation in board and commission meetings. Just, you know, we want people to come, we want them to talk. We don't want anybody out there discouraging people to come and give their thoughts. The next one is policy and legal compliance requirements. So the requirements to comply with the Brown Act, this is a sunshine rules that say that we won't have closed door meetings and we'll when we're making policy that it happens in public with an opportunity for the public to weigh in. And the Public Records Act and how we deal with the public's written and other types of media records. Prohibitions on discrimination, harassment, and bullying of staff, but in general too. Information technology policies. We have been getting more and more for our boards and commissioners are having access to city technology like email accounts, like iPads. We're starting to issue more iPads, and so we wanted to make sure we had in information technology policies that protect the city's assets, but also sensitive information from the public that they might have access to. And then our code of ethics and conflict of interest policies and laws are listed in there, as well as the restrictions on the use of public resources for political activities. This applies to all of us. We can't use any city resources, any city building, our paid staff time to advocate for or against a ballot measure. And so that's just now put in these rules and procedures. And then administrative matters from participating in required trainings, meeting agendas and how those are set, the conduct of meetings, information about quorums, how officers are selected and when, and then the standardized use of Rosenberg's Rules of Order Revised is in there as well. So that's the policy resolution. And again, those policies now, the city clerk has kind of sort of the council blessing of the policies. The clerk will be incorporating those policies into that handbook, which we hope will be a really good resource for particularly new boards and commissioners, but all boards and commissioners, board and commissioners. So. That's that next step to that. And then finally, we did want to talk about compensation. Previously, the stipends that were set up to offset personal expenses related to attendance at city meetings for boards and commissioners, the Planning Commission was set at $100 per meeting and a one-time training allowance of $200, designed to get them up to speed on the general plan, very big document that they're responsible for, but to give them to offset that training need. And then for other boards and commissions, it was $50 per meeting or training. The new amounts are basically 50% higher than that. So $150 and $300 for Planning Commission and $75 per meeting for all of our other boards and commissions, including this commission. And so that was effective July 1, so we'll apply to this meeting. And then that was just based on, we put the prior amounts in a cost of living escalator since the last time they were adjusted, and you know, not magic, you know, that's how we came up with the numbers. And so that is the end of the changes and the summary of the changes. And so just to talk a little bit about our next steps, we had the Brown Act training. And many of you would have attended that. It was put on by our city attorney, who's extremely knowledgeable about these things. That was on June 1st. We have new non-discrimination and information technology policies that were approved by the City Council on June 20th. We realized that those policies, we had them, but they were in our personnel rules, and our personnel rules didn't specifically apply to council members or boards and commissioners or volunteers, and we said, we gotta go broader than that. So this new policy for non-discrimination harassment applies to everyone in the conduct of city business. So boards and commissioners, volunteers, interns, city council members, staff, but they already had one, and then anybody who does business or seeks to do business with the city, which means that we're going to put those requirements into our contracting documents as well. And then the information technology policy. So as soon as we finish here, you're our last commission. the city clerk is going to be sending those out to all of our boards and commissioners and asking for a signed acknowledgement of those policies. Then the city clerk will be creating that handbook for boards and commissioners, and we may go to the city council, you know, in the future as needed to make adjustments. And we told them that we might be back, and we might be back. So, but we will keep you informed, and we're happy to take any questions.
Any questions from commissioners? Commissioner Ibarra?
I defer.
Well, I just have a general question. There are,
do you have your mic on?
Yeah, the microphone for the people at home.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I mean, there are, you've given me a clear picture of what to expect. I would just want to ask if there is a venue where that for interfacing with other agencies that serve our community. You know, our residents, of course, you know, depend on the or look to the city council, but they're also served by, say, the water district, the sewer district, you know, the school district, UCSB. And there are interfaces that our residents experience daily, you know, in one form or another. And I'm wondering if, I don't know how that gets addressed. I'm sure you probably do.
Yes. Omar Reggie?
Peter.
Commissioner Omar Reggie, right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get that right. Yes, we each of those entities has their own board. And they take, most of them take public comments. So if they're a public agency, the water district and things like that, they're going to have their own board. And then most of our, we have very strong ties to those agencies, mostly at the staff level. So we participate on a staff town and gown committee with UCSB. And then we have established relationships and committees that we sit on with nonprofits in the community. In fact, Ms. Hoover goes to some of those. So most of those kind of interaction between the agencies is at the staff level.
Okay. Thank you. I mean, that's from the city's perspective, but from the perspective of the residents, they wouldn't know that, you know, but they just experience these issues, you know, like take Whittier Avenue, for instance. Anytime it does rain, you know, there's a big flood. And in talking to both sides, you know, it's like, well, UCSB should have done this, but they did not. And, but this, you know, you couldn't, that road gets closed every time. And so our residents that live around there or that use that road, you know, experience this. That's just one example. And then the other part is the roads had issues for quite a while, and thankfully the city has remedied those, you know. But the moment that got completed, the nice roads around Armstrong and all those areas, guess what? The water district came in and dug holes on the newly, you know. And so some of us were thinking, well, there should be some coordination, you know, because the same residents are served by different agencies and they seem to not communicate. You know, I'm wondering if, I'm sure you have ways of handling those.
Yes, and I know that, you know, we're aware that sometimes happens. We just, you know, you can imagine it drives us nuts too, right?
Yeah.
But they do need to get in there. Their utilities are in our rights of way. And I know staff goes to great lengths to coordinate with those agencies, you know, when they're doing a project and to try and let them be doing the work in the right of way at the same time we are. Just doesn't, you know, always work, but there is a lot of that goes on. As to how members of the public can communicate, we have a city assist system where members of the public can put in a request for service and will get a call back. It refers out to the appropriate internal contact, and then if the contact is external, we will contact the person and let them know who they can talk to at another agency that might be responsible for the project. So that's, you know, that's the way that we, you know, ensure that the public has a way to get a hold of the right person.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Ibarra.
Yes, Chair Paz, is this the opportunity to say also comments or just only questions?
Questions? Well, it depends on what you...
No.
Go ahead and say whatever you need to say.
Okay, thank you. I reviewed the document. I'm very much impressed. It took a lot of work, a lot of effort, so my kudos to individuals involved, the city staff. I'm very much impressed. I'm also impressed with the standardizing of the commissions. The manual, I think, and the code of conduct, I think, was lacking. There was no structure as far as that. So I'm very pleased. I'm also pleased with the new responsibilities of the Public Engagement Commission. So I'm very much impressed, like I said. So I just want to make that comment about it. Thank you.
Thank you. The only thing I was going to add is a point to one of our commissioners' question, is that there are times where the city council will meet, for example, on a joint city council Santa Barbara Unified School District Board meeting, or the city of Santa Barbara just had theirs with the Santa Barbara Unified School District. So there are opportunities that elected bodies will meet together. If they have something in common, they'll share ideas. So, and I know in that particular case, Santa Barbara City Council Santa Barbara Unified School District, one of the topics was, for example, the use of school facilities after hours. So they do get resolved, let's put it that way. Any other questions or comments? Thank you. We will move to item B2, Community Relations Annual Outreach Update for fiscal year 22-23. And thank you, staff, again, for all of your work.
Good evening, Chair Paz, commissioners. Welcome to Commissioner Omareji. Glad to have you on the Public Engagement Commission team. Welcome to everyone at home. We're excited to give our annual outreach report. This is a great time for us to kind of look and review and see how we're doing and to share it with the Public Engagement Commission, which we're on the same mission to increase public engagement and make sure that everyone is able to get our messages. This is a very busy little city that there's so much information to share all the time. So we have never a downtime. It's always busy here at the Community Relations Division. And with that, I'd like to introduce all of us up here. This is your community relations team here at the city. I'm Kelly Hoover. I'm the community relations manager. And this is Jamie Shaw, the management assistant. And we also have Marcos Martinez, who's our Spanish engagement specialist. And we work closely every day, all day, to give you all the most timely information we can. And that showcases all of the things that are happening in the city. Here are our department goals. We are committed to keeping the community informed, not only during an emergency, but just with everything that's happening at the city. For us, we want to make sure that no one is surprised by information and that they feel like they know what's happening. That's our biggest compliment, is when we hear that people feel like they are informed. And what we don't want to hear is if they feel like they didn't hear about something. So we work really hard to make sure that our information is getting out to everybody. A big challenge with our department is also just making sure that it's easy to understand all the information happening and that it's relatable to people. So we work hard to make sure that that is the case. We also, our goal is to increase community engagement and participation. To make sure that people feel connected to the city and feel comfortable coming to meetings and feel comfortable just going to events and being a part of what's happening. Our goal is to increase inclusivity, make sure that everybody is getting the messages that we're sending out, to improve language access, to build relationships with our partners across the board, and really to showcase all the great projects and programs that are happening here at the City of Goleta. And tonight, we really are here for four important reasons. We want to showcase our areas of achievement this year, and we also want to talk to you about room for growth, and also show you some ideas and get your ideas and thoughts as well. So the strategy for the Community Relations Division really is to make sure that we're reaching everyone we can. And we do that by going on many different outreach modes. This is just a graphic that shows you just all the different ways that we're communicating. I will not go into all of them here on this particular graph, but we are going to touch upon all of them tonight. So this year we have some highlights. We did some things this year that we really want to point out that increased our participation and our engagement with the public. First and foremost, we had a comprehensive focus on Spanish engagement this year. We had a refreshed website that replaced our outdated website. We introduced some compelling campaigns that we really felt resonated with the community and just garnered interest. And then we did community events this year that I connected with people and brought people in that maybe we wouldn't have known before. So we'll touch on all of those. Let's start with Spanish outreach. This would not have been possible without having now a full-time person dedicated to Spanish outreach. We now have, because of having that person dedicated, Marcus Martinez I'm talking about here, we have been able to really integrate Spanish into everything that we do, into all of our communication. It's just an automatic, before it was, we'd have to take an extra step, and now it's just, we're working in tandem together, and Spanish is just a part of everything that we're doing. We now have a dedicated Galita in Espanol phone number and email address, so people can easily get a hold of Marcos if they have any questions. And we did not have that before, or if we did, it wasn't as streamlined and promoted as we do now. We've also increased interpretation at city events and meetings. The photo is of Viviana Marzano, who is at our, does simultaneous interpretation at our meetings. And we have seen her a lot more lately because she's at a lot more of our meetings doing Spanish interpretation, her and her team. We also have found that people are taking advantage of it. We're finding, and she's relayed to us, that more people are using headsets and are coming to the meetings when we promote them. So that's really exciting. We're also translating pretty much all of our outreach materials at this point. And we are incorporating it into the A-frames and the light post banners, into city videos now. If we do a video in English, we also do it in Spanish. And we have Marcos narrating it. So they're having the Spanish videos have a face, someone talking to them that they can be familiar with and feel is connecting with them in Spanish. So this is all working, by the way. We've increased our Spanish outreach by 38% this past year. So Spanish, the concentration is really working, and we are reaching more of our Spanish community. The revamped website, as you recall, we had an outdated website that was not mobile friendly. And as you know, people are accessing information like never before on their mobile device. And we needed to be able to respond to that. And our previous website, really, it was difficult to navigate. So in February of 2023, around the city's birthday, we launched a revamped website, not only for the city, but also for the library. It has a fresh, modernized look, a streamlined layout, has a redesigned homepage, so it has a fresh look. And it also has new navigation, which is the live, work, play theme. It's mobile friendly. We have enhanced translation and an accessibility menu icon. So we are really enjoying this new website, and we hope you are as well. Our website really is our biggest communication tool. It is where people go to get information. We see over 150,000 visitors each year to our website. And what the data shows us is that if you look at fiscal year 21-22, you'll see that the number of people accessing the website via their mobile device was lower than it is this past year. So we've seen an increase, now up to 46% of people accessing the website via their mobile device and less on their desktop, although we still do have accessing it via their desktop. So it's always interesting to see and look at the data and share with you what the top website pages were this past year. The city homepage is the most popular, followed by the library, government meetings, agendas, and videos. Then we go to the Galita Butterfly Grove, which always has a lot of interest. Jobs and recruitment information, city bid opportunities, the library catalog, permits, library ebooks, downloadables, and the library calendar. So there you have it. Those are the top 10 website pages on the City of Goleta website. We also introduced this year several compelling campaigns that were designed to really resonate with the community and draw people in. Know Your District campaign was the first one, and this was for the very first ever by-district election. And it was important that people understand and know their districts and understand that this was a new system. This is a bilingual campaign. You all recall it was all over the place. We put it everywhere, A-frames, light post banners. We sent out a Know Your Goleta ballot. We did a video with our city clerk's office. And we had an elections page on the city website. We also, and it's still ongoing, you can look around the room and see the Live, Work, Play, Vive, Trabaja, Huega campaign. It was bilingual. We introduced a new logo, Live, Work, Play logo. And really the reason for this is everywhere you go, people say that Goleta is the best place to live, work, and play. It was a sentiment that we had heard people say for years, and we thought, hey, this would be a great just slogan for people to look around and see and have pride in our community. And you will see this everywhere right now. It's all over the place on our light post banners. It's also incorporated, as we mentioned, in the website main navigation. We incorporated it into the Gov delivery headers for the notifications that are sent out from the city. We also have giveaways now, like pens and stickers, and you'll see these at the Lemon Festival if you come to the booth, and we'll be sure and hand them out to you. And also, we did a video promoting the Live, Work, Play campaign, and we would like to show that to you right now. There you have it. A lot to be proud of here at the City of Goleta, and that video just kind of captures a little bit of the heart of why Goleta is the best place to live, work, and play. And part of this job is being a cheerleader for the city, and all of us here are, where we're really looking for all the great things to highlight about where we live. Another big effort this year was we did a lot of outreach events, and we believe we increased our communication and participation that way by just meeting with people and having them come to these events. We had a State of the City, not only a community State of the City, but also a chamber event. We did a Lead Goleta. We did a 50-year celebration at the Fairview location. We did a Dam Dinner. We just had it. It was a huge success. Lots of lots of people every year come to this. We had a coffee and community for the first time. We had groundbreakings and ribbon cuttings and Lemon Festival City booths. We're going to go into each of these really briefly because they all, you know, were very well attended and successful, and we're really excited about each and every one of them. We had our first coffee and community, Café y Comunidad, January 21st at Nectarine Park in Old Town. It was a pretty cold morning and Saturday, and you never know what kind of turnout you're going to get. And it was just amazing to see all the people that showed up. We did outreach in English and Spanish. We had Spanish interpretation. And it was so successful that we realized we need to have them citywide in each district. And when I say we, it's the city as a whole, the staff realized, and council as well, that these coffee and communities are a great way to reach our community, and holding them in different areas gives people the opportunity to come and talk about things happening in their neighborhood, in their part of the city. So we have another one coming up on October 7th at Elwood School. We also did our first ever Lead Galita in Spanish. It was in English and Spanish. And we had 29 total participants, 7 Spanish speaking. It was a heartfelt and informative 6 weeks with this group. We learned a lot together, and it was just a great experience. And our next one we are planning right now begins in January of 2024. So what the data tells us when we look at it is that the city continues to grow its audience every year. And we do that with frequent and consistent outreach that is shared with the community every year. The growth depends on the different platforms, which we're going to take a look at. Here's a look at our social media. As you can see, Facebook steadily is growing. Twitter also steadily growing. And Instagram really is, in terms of social media, where we're seeing the largest growth. If you look, last year we had almost 2,000. Now we're up to almost 2,500 at the time of this report. So we're finding that people have different preferences. Some people prefer Facebook, others Twitter, others Instagram. The trend really is towards Instagram these days, although we still do have a great following with Twitter and also Facebook. So it's important to communicate on all three, which we do. It's also really interesting and eye-opening to take a look at what people are interested in. If you look at a popular Instagram post, actually the most popular one from this past fiscal year was this one. Today's the big day, the return of Galita's best damn dinner. Join us tonight at Lake Los Carneros from 5 to 7. Just that post, people really responded to and had the most reach, the most reactions and shares. And looking at the top Instagram posts, this helps us to be able to see what people are interested in. And hopefully you will also enjoy hearing about that damn dinner. Anything regarding safety, a DUI checkpoint, looking at this list, evacuation warnings, anything involving roads, Highway 154 reopening, you'll see flash flood warning. And then anything regarding safety, such as the firework safety video. Videos really are getting a good response on Instagram, we're finding. The Creek Week Art Contest. Just a simple thank you. The video on Good Land, Good Shopping that KUIT covered, that received a lot of response as well. Facebook, it's interesting. You can look at Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and they'll have different levels of interest on different topics. We really see on Facebook that the most popular posts often have to do with anything related to roads. This was the most popular, or one of them, last year, the Robin Hill Road during the storm being closed. due to flooding. And taking a look at the top Facebook posts, the most popular one was during February, we did a good land, good shopping, love our businesses post, and that received a great response. And you can see the rest of them are really dealing with anything related to roads. We also see that our community really responds to just praising others in our community, people doing good work in our community. People love that. The Dos Pueblos High School students being recognized at council, that was a very popular Facebook post. Our teacher nominations of the year were extremely popular. And Bicycle Bob's being honored at council. So it's really important that we continue to highlight just all the great work being done in our community, because people really do love seeing that and they respond to it. Twitter, a lot of what we're seeing on Twitter is sharing other information from other agencies. We do that on all of our platforms, but Twitter really is designed to share information. Anything that's related to Goleta, we try and share that on Twitter. And so it's no surprise that the most popular post this past year was in regards to Highway 217 and the San Jose Creek Bridge. This wasn't even our post. It was Caltrans. But we shared it, and there was a lot of interest there, as you can see. And if you take a look at our top Twitter posts, kind of the same theme, anything dealing with roads, safety, we really see that that is what people are most interested in, and how important it is that we're sharing information from our partners and our other agencies, that we're kind of all in together sharing information. Nextdoor always has a great increase every year, and this is a platform that people sign up for just to know what's happening in their neighborhood, and the city posts on this platform. And it grows every year. People continue to sign up for Nextdoor. Just in the past year, there was over 1,000 new members. And so it's great that we're able to use that platform to put our messaging on, because we know people are seeing it. GovDelivery is an important communication tool for the city. It is how we directly communicate our news to our community. Via text or email. People can sign up to get all city news. They can pick a topic that they want to know about. And this is a direct line of communication from the city to the community. We also have a GovDelivery in Spanish as well. We revamped GovDelivery this year with some new headers, which you see there on the screen. We updated a new button feature, just anything to make it easier for people to get the information on their cell phone especially, and be able to click and get to what they need, whether it's an agenda or a photo, whatever they need through our GovDelivery. We updated our Monarch Press as well, the template for that, and our city council agenda. So GovDelivery, we did kind of a cleanup this year, which it makes it look like our number of subscribers went down, but it just steadily grows every year, the number of people that are signed up to get city news. They can receive it via text or email, as you can see. More people receive it via email, but many people prefer text. And what you're not seeing here is that some people want both. They want email and text. But if there are people out there who say, oh, please do not text me, they can just have it sent to them via email. And this is really a great graphic to look at, because it shows that the number of subscribers and people who are receiving our GovDeliveries in Spanish has increased to 1,300. And if you look at what it was several years ago, it's a great increase, and we wanted to see that keep going. Blackboard Connect is our phone notification system, and you may not even be aware of it, or you may be, because we really try not to use it. It's really meant for an emergency. We will use it if it's an event that impacts the city and we feel like we need to get people's attention, But really, it's really reserved for an emergency, and we hope we don't need to use it. But it is there for us if we do need it, and we have close to 20,000 residents and businesses signed up to use this Blackboard Connect. Press releases are a really important way for the city to communicate. It's used to get our information out to a larger audience than just through our local platforms. It is a great way to provide updates and our council agenda summaries. And what we find is, of course, with press releases, that leads to media coverage. You have to tell people what's happening in order for them to know and cover it. So you'll often see Goleta in the news, and that's because of the press releases. Go back to that slide previously. It's okay. We sent out 217 press releases this past year, and that did garner a lot of media coverage for us and a lot of people understanding what's happening with the city of Goleta. And sometimes our news even reaches the national level. Here's two cases this past year. The stuffed animal sleepover at the library, just that photo and the fact that I think just the adorableness of this event made it into national news, which was exciting. It was in the Washington Post. And then CNN did a story on the monarch butterflies. Video is also an important tool for us to communicate. We did 35 videos last year, which is pretty consistent with the year before when we did 34. We did 9 videos in Spanish. And the videos are just a great way for us to do a show and tell. People were finding really do enjoy watching a short video. So if you want to see all of our videos, they're on our YouTube. And we also have promos that we are on pump flicks, which are on the gas station screens, monitors, which is also a great way to get our message out. And right now, hopefully people are at home are watching Goleta TV, Channel 19. It's pretty wonderful that we have our own channel. And this is where we have the opportunity to show content. Obviously, all of the meetings for the city are on Goleta TV, Channel 19. But it's also a great place for us to put our videos and slides promoting events and programs. The Monarch Press. We definitely use this tool to not only tell people what has happened, but what's coming up. It's the monthly e-newsletter. We have a new layout this year. It goes on all of our city channels. And we put out 11 issues a year. It's packed with articles, and we have more than 5,000, almost 6,000 people signed up to receive it directly. And that doesn't even count all the other ways that people are viewing the Monarch Press, whether they're clicking it on Facebook or they're going to our website or they're going to any of our platforms. We put it on there and they're clicking it. But almost 6,000 people receive it directly every month. We also should let people know that we do print the Monarch Press and send it to anyone who wants to receive a hard copy. And we still have 54 subscribers that ask for the hard copy. But it is there as an option. And this truly is a success in terms of communication. And those are our A-frames that are around town. It's unbelievable. We always want to hear how people heard about an event or heard about something happening, and many times they'll tell us, well, we saw that sign in front of, you know, this place or that place. So this is really an important communication tool for us, and we use it. We have purchased more A-frames because we realize that so many people are getting information via our A-frames. Another great communication tool is our light post banners. We are steadily and slowly replacing old ones and coming out with new ones. And because these are obviously more costly, it has to be something that we're promoting long-term. And it also has to be a very simple message because it's, you know, you're driving and, you know, we want people just to get the information quickly and have something simple that they can understand. And this is it. This is our outreach comparison. We went over all of this, so I won't go over any more. But really, I guess the exciting takeaway here is that we are growing every year. We consistently put out a lot of information to the public. We're finding that we're increasing our audience. We're always looking for ways to improve and ways to reach even more people and make sure that everyone is getting our messaging. And with that, we'd like to talk about the future. So we have some ideas that we have come up with just to increase our engagement. Just, we realize that social media is an important way to reach the community. And we are increasing our followers, but what we're hoping to transition to is instead of just putting information out, to actually have more interaction through our social media. And some ways to do that would be the photo of the week, or a photo contest even, where people are sending in beautiful photos of Goleta or people in Goleta. That would be a good, also to do a Good Land, Good People spotlight. We launched this Good Land, Good People campaign during COVID just to have a way to spread some positive news. And people really responded to the Good Land, Good People. So this would be a way that people could, you know, tell us about something that people are doing in the community that's positive. And we did see, as you all, we showed during our presentation, is that we do get a response to highlighting people doing good work in our community. Another idea would be to do Goleta history, highlight old photos, historical photos. That would be another great way to get people involved and interested. And then staff spotlights, just more of getting to know staff and different people at the city who are at work. Another idea is, since videos are becoming just more and more of a great way to communicate, would be doing more videos that help people understand how to use, for example, City Assist. We could do a tutorial, how to watch and participate in city meetings. Just other videos that help explain how to get involved and also highlight things that we're doing. And with that, we'd love to hear your ideas.
Commissioner Klein-Rothschild.
Thank you. I want to begin by just saying kudos to the team. You have done an incredible job of reaching out to a wide audience in Goleta. I mean, the number of communications, the number of channels and methods, the increases, it's just, it's wonderful. And it really sets Goleta apart. So kudos to all of you.
Thank you.
I have a couple thoughts that I just want to throw out. One is that I've noticed on Nextdoor, not just Goleta's posts, but many posts are about Goleta. Who do I contact? Where do I go? And they happen to live in Goleta. So I don't know if you have somebody who monitors not just your posts, but other posts in Goleta neighborhoods. I find myself answering, but not always knowing the right answer. So that's one thing. These are people reaching out, and it's an interactive process. Another suggestion to consider is we have homeowner associations. Mm-hmm. I live in a community that has a homeowner association, and most of my neighbors don't know about these things. But they're all part of the association. They all pay their dues, so they can be communicated through those methods. So that's another place that we can reach out for neighborhoods in Goleta. And the one other thing I just want to throw out, since I'm talking about ideas here to help us be engaged, it would be helpful for me, and I suspect others, if we're going to meet four times a year and not six, that if we know those dates ahead of time, so we can plan our travel and other things like that and help make sure that we can let other people know it in advance. So those are some suggestions I'd put forward.
Thank you. Any other? Ms. Uribe.
Well, this is impressive. You guys have done a wonderful job, all of you. And thank you to Marcos in particular, because he has been like key in being able to reach all of those people. So thank you for your hard work. And I don't know the numbers. What's the population in Goleta? Do you know, like, approximately?
According to the last census, approximately 33,000.
Because I'm seeing that on the previous thing that you showed us, all the numbers is 42,000 people. And I was wondering if that is more than the population or very close to what the population is. So that shows you that not only Goletans are engaged with Goleta, but other cities too. So that's very encouraging as well. Congratulations on that part. I have several questions for you guys. So, for example, we were talking about that you guys are planning to do more events, like pockets in different places, right? So I was wondering if we could use the parking lots of different businesses, or I don't know, maybe government, I don't know where, to really do dances and like bring life to the Goleta community, to the young and the old, and you know, but all together. In the Latino community, as you probably know, where all the generations are put together, you know, is the grandmother and the mother and the children, you know. So that would be an awesome thing to be able to do events like that, but of course, to include everyone, not just the Latino community. So something like that, I think it would be a great idea to do it, like, I don't know, 3 times a year or... You know, the other thing that I was thinking also is, so do we have a next door or a Goleta channels, whatever they are people in participating in Spanish at all? Because those are not necessarily for Spanish speakers. So are they participating and they having their conversation in Spanish or not?
Commissioner Uribe, we have GovDelivery, which is basically a notification in Spanish, but it is a one-way communication. It's not, there's no way to comment back. Of course, really the only place to comment back would be Nextdoor, which we don't have in Spanish, and also on Facebook, which we certainly could take a comment in Spanish. But yeah, we haven't really developed a way to have a two-way communication other than coming to events and having simultaneous interpretation at our events.
Well, that's a lot, let me tell you, because like you said, it didn't used to be like that. So that's a lot, and I appreciate it. But maybe putting something in Spanish and see what happens, you know, things like that. The other thing, and this is related to us as a commission, I was wondering if any of those communications, can you promote more our commission so people know, because nobody that I talk to is really aware that we exist. And I think that would be beneficial to the city and to us, so people can know, oh, there's a commission, and then when we are and about in the community, they know that they can come to us. So I don't know how to implement that, but I think that would be a good idea. And on those same lines, maybe when you do the parade, the December parade, maybe have a float with us there that says Public Engagement Commission, so people know more. And I think those are my my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I just had a couple of comments. I love the idea of like promoting the Public Engagement Commission, but I was also thinking about it in terms of, in light of the last presentation, how all of those commissions have been codified in in this in the city, and how that could be sort of announced to the rest of the community of the city of Goleta. Here's your different commissions. Here are the responsibilities. You can find information for them. Da 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 da. So that way, everyone knows in the community what pieces exist and where they should go. Like if they have a question. So that's a wonderful idea. I appreciate that. In terms of future ideas, I was thinking to myself, especially given that some of the posts, in particular, you know, are not necessarily just about the city, but what is happening in the city. It might be interesting to think about highlighting or working with other organizations in the community. Perhaps even when you look at Good Land, Good People spotlights, maybe spotlighting not a person, but a nonprofit in the community that's doing good work. That might be a good idea. There are many times where, you know, take off my commissioner hat, but put on my day-to-day hat, where in my work, we're working obviously with the Santa Barbara Unified School District, when we have overlapping sort of events or things that are happening in the city of Goleta, or we're working on a particular thing. And it might be good to think about how that could interface with the work that you're doing, how you could highlight something that, or even another, a nonprofit could highlight the work that the city is doing on a particular area that is a mutual interest. So that might be something else to think about. I was thinking about that as you were all talking. Señor Ibarra.
One of the things that I think was brought up, and this goes without saying, I have seen the work that you do when I go to attend some of the outreach events, and I'm happy to see that there's a variety of people, there's families. And I think that's very important for the city of Goleta to emphasize that. When you see children with their parents and their parents taken, for example, at the library, or when we go to the other events, there's families there. And I think that's one of the things that we should emphasize in the city of Goleta. I do have a question. When we, and it goes back to a little bit something that Chair Paz mentioned. When we do start promoting the Public Engagement Commission, and once we have codified the Code of Conduct, how can we answer questions from members of the public that find out, for example, Chair Paz, or they ask what you're doing? I think that's a very good idea, answering what can we and what can we not do in responding to some of those requests for information? Or should we just direct it, for example, if it's Spanish-speaking, to Marcos, or if it's just a citizen that has a question about the Public Engagement Commission, how they can approach us to start focusing on a concern in an area, they could tell Kelly or Jamie. So that's the question I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Ibarra, and all of you. These are great suggestions. And we will get back to you with really the best way to respond to, first of all, we're hearing you, that you want people to know that you exist, and also to feel comfortable coming to you, and then what to do when they do come to you. So we hear you on that, and thank you. And thank you for all these great ideas.
Yes, go ahead.
I'd like to add my praise to your department this is excellent work, you know. And thank you very much for all the help, everything. The city, of course, I love the city, but, you know, you are exceptional. Some suggestions. You revamped the website. This is awesome, you know, much, much improvement. But the question is there going to be maybe in the future a way people can do some bill payment on the website, pay the city?
Commissioner Amoreji, I will look into that. I'm not sure that is something that's in the near future, but I can find out for you and for the community if that's a question.
Yeah, that will be helpful too. And it may be if there's a search feature.
The search feature?
Yeah, on the website.
Yes, there's a many different search
spots
on our website.
So I'm finally maybe being offered, but if there's a link to other services that our residents need but don't know where to go to, just a link and say, and if they click on the link, it says you are leaving the city of Goleta, so you are out. So that might be useful.
Yeah. Commissioner Amoreji, we appreciate any feedback we can get on our website. It's always a work in progress. While so much work went into revamping the website, you could literally work on it every day and make additions and add. And it's Jamie Shaw is, I call her the webmaster. She doesn't really like when I do that, but she truly is the most closely connected to our website. She works on it constantly. But if you see anything at all that we need to improve, please, please let us know because it is constantly a work in progress.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last comment I have is, thank you for all the good work. I think several of us have been on the commission from the days of before having sort of all the staff that is currently here when your predecessor was in this role, and that has gone whoosh. And every time I look at all the work that you all do, it's just pride in being part of a little bit of what you do, or like saying, hey, I know her, I know them, they're doing a great job. So it feels really great to look at what you all accomplished and continue to do. So lots of kudos to all of what you do. Every time I see a post on social media from you all, it's like, yes. So thank you. Great appreciation. Yes, last comment.
So I have a comment and I have a question that is not necessarily related to this. But when we started talking about our previous fellow commissioner that went to study somewhere else and we were thanking him, I was wondering if there's any way that we can give him like a little plaque or something simple to thank the members when they retire from the commission. So, and along with that, I was wondering if this commission in the new way that is going to be set up, if we're going to have even a small budget for those kinds of things.
We are taking down all of your feedback, and we'll definitely look into all of that.
Okay.
Thank you. And I really just want to say thank you to our Public Engagement Commission. It's really nice to be able to come to you every year and tell you how things are going. I speak on behalf of Marcos and Jamie that we love what we do. It's really rewarding. Our community embraces getting information. They're extremely supportive, and it makes what we do a lot of fun. And, you know, there's so much happening with the city. There's at 20... Are we 22 or 21? We're 21. We're 21 years old. And so there's so much happening that we really enjoy making sure that everybody knows. And thank you for your support and for your great feedback. And thank you to Jamie and Marcos for, you know, being in the trenches every day and getting all this information out. And we always are here to for feedback from anybody watching at home or to any of you for ways to improve.
Thank you. If there's no further comments, we're going to move to item C, Director's Report.
Uh, I want to remind everybody that our next meeting is October 18th. And also, we mentioned some of these dates in the presentation, but just as a reminder, we have some great outreach events coming up. We have the Coffee and Community, Cafe y Comunidad, October 7th from 9 to 11 in the morning at Elwood School. We have not begun promoting this yet, but we will. So put it on your calendar. And it's a Saturday morning coming up here in October. You heard from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce about September 16th in Old Town for Mexican Heritage celebration. And then we also have coming up the Lead Goleta Academy that will be beginning in January. We haven't started promoting that, but that is coming up as well. And then it's a very special year for the Lemon Festival. It's 30 years, and that's on the September 29th and 30th. So the city will have a booth area, and we hope to see you and as many of our community members as possible there.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Lemon Festival is September 30th and October 1st.
Thank you. Any future agenda items? Hearing none, I am going to call to adjourn until October
18th.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
It's true. Yeah.